Amen.
All right, let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Of course, this is one of the central seminal texts on manhood, Ephesians chapter number 5. I know you're familiar with it. I'm speaking about the discipline of being masculine. Talking about masculinity, being a man, being a manly man. And discipline is about taking responsibility. Being a man, if I say anything today that I think is important that you need to grasp hold to, especially if you're a younger man, is that being a man and being a disciplined man is about taking responsibility.
Amen.
Over the last 30 years, there has been a total breakdown in the number of men who are willing to take on responsibility. We don't like responsibility. We don't like responsibilities. Responsibilities get in the way of our hobbies. Responsibilities get in the way of our fun. They get in the way of our recreation. And we today have raised up a couple of generations of men who are more devoted to hobbies, recreation, pastimes, than they are manly responsibilities. A real man takes responsibility for his life. He takes responsibility for his actions. He takes responsibility for his choices and decisions. A real man takes responsibility for a job. A real man takes responsibility for a family. A real man takes responsibility for a wife. A real man takes responsibility for children, for debt, for finances, money. Real men take responsibility. Real men don't make excuses. They take responsibility. When they're wrong, they take responsibility. They don't make excuses. Real men don't blame somebody else when things go wrong or when there's a problem. They don't pass the buck. They take responsibility. I believe the crisis in manhood today is a failure for males to take responsibility, thereby becoming real men. Discipline requires taking responsibility for yourself and for others. So I have talked to you about a man's heart and faith and the matter of spiritual disciplines. Now I want to talk to you about a man's home and family and this matter of familial disciplines. Our home and family and familial, our family disciplines. Ephesians chapter number 5, you know it well, but let's read it anyhow. Verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Familial disciplines. Paul is dealing here with a man's home and his family, and he is commanding a man to take responsibility for his home and his family. Sure. That a man is to discipline himself to take responsibility for his wife. He segues from chapter 5 into chapter number 6. Speaking not just to husbands, but to fathers, and how fathers take responsibility for their children. This is 6 and 4. So Ephesians 5 and 6, Paul is primarily dealing with men. You know the Peter passage in 1 Peter 3. Peter gives more attention to the women and one verse to the man. Here in Ephesians 5, he gives a couple verses to the women, but a whole bunch of verses to the men about what it means to be a husband and what it means to be a father, and how as men we are to be husbands and fathers, and we are to take responsibility for our wife and our children. We are responsible for our home. Biblically speaking, you are not a man until you take a wife, get married, and begin to reproduce yourself through children. Now, we know from Matthew 19 and 1 Corinthians 7 that there are some men and some women that God has made eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake and has given them the gift of singleness. So for very small minority of people, it is God's will and plan for their life that they remain single and celibate, devoting themselves wholly and solely to the spread of the kingdom of God in the earth. This is Matthew 19 and 1 Corinthians 7. Unless you have that gift of celibacy, unless you are a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake, God says it is not good for the man to be alone, and his will for you is to take a wife and reproduce children. Man, you have a responsibility to take a wife and have children. Are you listening to me? And then you are to take responsibility for the wife and children that you have. Right. Right. I'm going to say that one more time. You have a responsibility under God to take a wife and have children. And once you do that, you must take responsibility for the wife and the children that you have. They are your... Getting married is your responsibility. Having children is your responsibility. And you are to take responsibility for the wife that you take and the children that you have. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Come on. For the first time in American history, we have more unmarried adults than we do... married adults in this country. That's the first time that's ever happened in all of our history. And the statistics tell us, Brother Carey, that men ages 20 to 30, 70% of men ages 20 to 30 have not yet taken a wife and started a family. What's up with that? I don't want to take too long right here, but you know, it's kind of understood. I did not grow up in a Christian home and family. I did not grow up under the Bible. Nobody in my family was a Christian. Nobody was saved. Nobody knew God. But you know, even in my family, you know, it's understood that you grow up about 18, somewhere right in there. You know, it's time for you to be a man, and it's time for you to take a wife and start a family. That's just what you do. That's what you do. Like all the time I was growing up, I didn't know any men 20 to 30 year old that wasn't married. I just didn't know any. They may have been divorced a half a dozen times, but they'd find another one and get married. I didn't know any 20, 30, 40 year old single men. I mean, it's just to understand, it was a given. Wasn't a matter of the Christian faith, wasn't a matter of the Bible, wasn't a matter of being saved, regenerated, having the Holy Ghost in you. It was just what was expected of men. You grow up, you take a wife, you start a family, you have children, you work a job, you pay the bills, you take responsibility for a family because that's what it means to be a man. Now, what has happened that 70% of men in this country, 20 to 30 years old, have not taken a wife and they've not started a family. Of those 70%, they do not have a full-time job, at best only a part-time job, do not have their own place, still live in their mama or their mom and daddy's home and spend the majority of their time playing video games or goofing off with their friends. I'm talking about being a man.
Sure.
Involves having a home and family. And taking responsibility for that home and family. So there are three things that I want to point out, and there are a lot more that could be pointed out, but disciplining myself for a 30 to 35 minute session, I'm going to mention three quick things about a man and his home and family and the familial disciplines that must be in place that we must take responsibility for. Number one, the man and his Lord. The man and the Lord of his home. Now I want you to notice right here in Ephesians 5. You know this, but let me point it out and tie together what it means for us to be men and to be real men. And that is the model for manhood and the model for husbandhood is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The model for the wife is the church, and the model for the husband is Christ. It is the Lord Christ Himself. Let a man love his wife even as Christ loved the church. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the measure. He is the metric by which every man is measured. If I understand this passage, I am to discipline myself as a man to become like the man, Christ Jesus. That He is the paradigm. He is the ultimate model of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a husband. And that ultimately God is going to measure me out and judge me by how much like Christ I have been in my manhood and my husbandhood. Jesus is the example.
Yes.
Do you see that in the all through the passage? Here's the kind of man Jesus is. Here's the kind of husband Jesus is. Now, men, God holds you responsible to become that kind of man and that kind of husband. You say, hold on, Jesus was a eunuch for the kingdom of God, so He never married. He never had a family. Hold on. Sure He did. He has a bride. He is a spouse to a bride. Will be wedded to a bride. Jesus, God, the Son of God. God the Son came down here and became a man, and He became a man to take a bride. And when He took a bride, He took all the responsibility for that bride, laying down His life for that bride, giving Himself for that bride, taking responsibility for all of her sins and all of her failures, taking responsibility for her life, her time, and her eternity. He took responsibility as a man for his wife and his family.
Yes.
And aren't you glad we wouldn't be saved if He hadn't come?
Yeah.
Took responsibility for our debt. Took responsibility for our blame, our sins, our transgression, our disobedience. Took responsibility for us. So there is the matter of the man's Lord and his family. Do you see it? I believe this is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4 when he says that we must grow up into the full measure of the man, Christ Jesus. You ever notice how many times in the New Testament Jesus is called the man? The man. Remember what Pilate said when he stood him out there in front of the whole nation of it? Behold, the man. I mentioned Paul in Ephesians 4. Paul over in 1 Timothy. There is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. You want to know what a man is? Don't look at Sylvester Stallone. Well, I'm going to throw you a real curveball here. Don't even look at Chuck Norris. If you want to know what a real man is, look at Jesus Christ. Amen. I've said this before some years ago. I haven't said it recently, so let me just repeat it and say it again. Away. Away with this idea, this artistry, these depictions of Jesus that have painted and portrayed Him to us as a 90-pound transvestite shampoo model with lipstick and blush on His face and no calluses on His hand. Jesus Christ was a real man who had a home and a family, the family of God, and He took responsibility for His family. Yes. Amen. Gene Getz wrote a great book, you ought to get it, The Measure of a Man. Jesus Christ is the measure, all man and all God.
Amen.
The man's Lord in his home. Number two, the man's lead in his home. Verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I hope you'll listen, because I'm about to say some things that's going to get me censored. I say them all the time anyway, and I don't care. I don't know what channels this will be broadcast on, and I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I just committed a hate crime and committed a criminal act of violence by quoting and reading verse number 23. The husband is the head of the wife. Not of the man's Lord in his home, but the man's lead and his home. You are the leader of your home and your family. Your wife does not lead you. You lead your wife. Your children does not lead you. You lead your children. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Wives, obey your husband. Wives, see, you reverence your husbands. Yes. But men, see that you are the head of your wife and your children, and you are the leader in every way in your home. The buck stops with us. And one of my pet peeves, forgive me, one of my pet peeves is for Baptist preachers, particularly of our kind. I expect the other kind to do this. I don't expect our kind to do this. But I have seen a lot of our kind do this. I get up and read Ephesians 5. Waste 45 minutes of all of our time telling us what this don't mean.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's one of my pet peeves. Not just in Ephesians 5, all through the Bible. You get something that ain't popular today.
Yeah.
Get something today that people ain't gonna like, that ain't politically correct. Get you knocked off Facebook and get you knocked off YouTube and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And so they come to passages like this and wuss out. Spend, waste 45 minutes of everybody's time walking through the whole passage saying, no, this don't mean, this don't mean, this don't mean. And they never do tell you what it does mean. They ain't got enough guts. Never one time tell you what it... Look, I don't care about what it don't mean. Don't tell me what it don't mean. Your job as a man of God, a preacher, a teacher of the words, get up, tell us what it does mean. And when you spend 45 minutes telling what it don't mean, what you have just said to all of us is it don't mean nothing.
Right.
Now I'm going to tell you it means something.
Yeah. 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 Sure, Brother Allen.
That means something. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means what it says.
Right.
And my responsibility as a man is to take responsibility for the leadership of my home and the leadership of my wife and the leadership of my children. That's my responsibility. I ain't much of a man if I shirk that responsibility because I'm lazy and undisciplined. And I put that off on my wife. Well, you just handle this. Or I let my children have their way on everything they want. Well, you know, the kids. That's not a man. That is not a man. Well, honey, I just don't want to deal with it. I'm too tired. I worked all day, you know. And you just, you know, I'm going to delegate this authority. You just handle all this. Put all that on her. Well, you know, the kids will be mad and they'll go to their room, slam the door, and they'll pout, you know. And, you know, so we get nothing. Quick, you're not a man.
Yeah,
I know this ain't popular. 1 Peter 3, the wife is the weaker vessel.
Sure.
That means the husband is the stronger vessel. I couldn't tell you how many preachers and pastors that I know, some whom I preach for, their wife is mentally, emotionally, and spiritually stronger than they are. I'm just telling you. You'd be shocked, maybe some of you here, when trouble comes, when there's difficulties, when there are problems, when there are challenges in your family, instead of you being the stronger vessel, manning up, taking the responsibility and the lead for it, you push that off onto the shoulders of the weaker vessel and expect her to be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually stronger than you. I don't know how many preachers I've seen. Something bad happens, they go all to pieces, they panic, they're a panic attack waiting to happen, unwrap. Their wife is just as calm and strong as the Rock of Gibraltar. We ought to be ashamed. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. How dare the stronger vessel take the burdens that he's supposed to be carrying, but he's weak and ineffectual because he hadn't disciplined himself. He's been shirking responsibility, being selfish and undisciplined all of his life, throwing this off on her wife. She's getting stronger and stronger. She can handle it better than him. He's getting weaker and weaker all the time because he's shirking his responsibilities. Is this not original sin, brothers? Adam was in the garden. He is responsible. Eve was taken. Eve was created by God from Adam for Adam to be the helpmate to him. And then Satan comes and tempts, and everybody says, well, where was Adam? Read your Bible. He's standing right there. Standing right there the whole time.
Sure.
Instead of Adam being strong, you know, what Adam should have done is he should have crushed the head of the serpent. He says, whoa, 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 honey, I'm going to deal with this right here. Bam, right there.
Yeah.
He didn't, so the last Adam came, and before they even got out of the garden, God said, now, what you should have done, he's going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to send a real man. I'm going to send a real man next time. Standing right there, lets his wife take the lead, lets her have the dialogue with Satan. She takes fruit, gives it right to him, surrendering his headship, his leadership. And cast the whole human race into a fall from which we are still falling. And more than that, when God confronts him, he starts making excuses and blames her. Well, you know, her, you ain't no real man if you always blaming your wife. I get tired of men saying, well, you know, my wife won't submit to me. My wife won't obey me. My wife don't respect me. Whose fault is that? Quit blaming her. Quit blaming her. Whose fault is it she won't submit to? Whose fault is it she don't respect you? She don't follow you? She doesn't reverence you or obey you? Who's to blame for that? Is it because she's bossy and sassy? Have you ever considered she's bossy and sassy because you're weak and you're wimpy and she does not respect you enough to submit to you and follow you? As men, we are to be so manly and disciplined that without trying, we automatically command the respect of our wife and children. Does your wife and kids look up to you or down to you? Your wife and kids embarrassed by you and wish that you were a real man, wish that you did take responsibility, wish that you would man up? Or do they look at you? Do others see them look at you with respect and honor? Trust, safety, and security. That's my man. That's my husband. That's my daddy. I'm not saying there's not wicked, unsubmissive women out there. I'm saying what has created that. That didn't exist like it exists today 100 years ago. That didn't exist when there were strong men. Remember that? Strong men, good times, weak men, hard times. You remember? When there were strong men, there were submissive wives and children. You look at how disobedient and disrespectful children are today, how unruly and irreverent, how wild and unbridled the women are. You say, boy, these women, something's happened. These kids are more wicked than I tell you, these stinking devil. No, look at the men.
Come on.
God put the responsibility on Adam. He said, hey, boy, he didn't say nothing to Eve. He said, I'm talking to you. Well, it's her, you know. No, shut up. Shut up.
Amen.
Quit doing that. Don't be a coward. Don't blame somebody. You take responsibility. The technical word for this is patriarchy. If you pay attention to what's going on in this woke, wicked, weak world that we live in, the number one devil and Satan that the Western world has identified as the white Christian male. If you are white, if you are a Christian, if you are a man and a real man, you're the devil in today's world, because these men, strong men, have perpetrated all the evil, injustice, and abuse that exists anywhere in the whole world. Public enemy number one. And they hate the patriarchy, the patriarch, male leadership, male headship, the home, the church, the government. They hate it. We got to destroy the patriarch. I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches the patriarchy.
Yes, sir.
You destroy the patriarchy, you destroy society and culture and send it straight to hell. You're watching it happen every day of your life. Now I have to close. The man's Lord in his home. The man's lead in his home. Lastly and most brief, the man's love in his home. What does he challenge? What is the one word he keeps coming back to over and over and over here about the man? Love your wife. Love you. You know what I'm preaching? The patriarchy. Male headship and leader. That's a toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity. Y'all heard that? In my own mind, I've thrown around two titles that we could call this conference. I thought about calling it the Alpha Male Conference, or just going on and calling it the Toxic Masculinity Conference. I'm just going to be out. We got way too many beta men in the world today. Way too many betas. I mean, they ought to be able to sniff alpha pheromones coming off you a mile away.
I'm out.
They say, this is toxic. Boy, this is toxic. Toxic masculine. No, it ain't. There is such thing as a toxic masculinity. Here's what toxic masculinity, a man who is cruel and mean, who abuses his wife and children, treats his wife and kids like they're his pets and his property rather than people.
Right. You're right.
So, oh, if we believe Ephesians 5, all the damage is, all toxic. No. What keeps it from being toxic? Man's love in his home. Now you be the man, and you be a man, and you lead, and you be like the man. You be like, you take responsibility for all of it. But now you love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church. A man won't be a jerk and an arrogant blowhard. He won't mistreat his wife, belittle her. He'll do what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, but honor her. He will honor her. He will love his children, and his wife and children will not only respect and follow him, but when he loves his wife and children will love him back. Love. So I'm going to ask you this question, then we'll take our break. You men here, how you doing as a man? What about as a husband and a father? Probably most of us would say, good. Yeah, I felt all that. That's me. Amen. Preach. It took me a long time to figure this out, but I learned this sometime back. I don't get to decide whether or not I'm a good husband and father. I let my wife be the umpire on that. I'm thinking about buying her one of them umpire jerseys. So periodically I ask her, how am I doing as a husband? Am I leading and loving well? How am I doing with our children and grandchildren? You don't get to grade yourself on this. You ain't the umpire. You ain't the one calling balls and strikes and outs. You ought to ask your wife and tell her to be honest. And if she tells you something you don't want to hear, don't get mad and pout and wimp out. Man up. Don't go at them on her. Take responsibility and do some discipline, familial disciplines. Okay, brother.